Happy Friday, good people, and welcome to the Ring of Honor post show as we look at episode 62 and all that has happened in the last week of Ring of Honor.
I am your forever ROH Women's Champion, your fallen goddess, the Alpha, the Minion, Overlord, the ROH Gatekeeper, but most of all, I am the best in the world, Athena, and you are watching Women's Wrestling Talk.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Zero.
Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.
Happy Friday, good people, and welcome to the Women's Wrestling Talk Ring of Honor post show. I am your professor, Gerard Bonner. I hope that you are doing well as we prepare to talk about all things that happened this week in Ring of Honor. It's been a wild day already, and so hopefully this will all kind of make sense in a little bit, but I'm not alone. I am joined, of course, by the boss lady, who, if you watch WWT Live, you don't get to see her much anymore. But I pulled her out. She's hanging out with us this morning. It is the boss lady, TK, the real TK Trinidad.
Wow, the shade. I've been getting hit with shade all week by all sorts of people. Damn.
Hey, but you know what it is? The people miss you. They miss you.
I mean, yeah, but I got to pay these bills. How do you think y'all hit? I mean,
I understand that.
You know, Seth has all this money and, you know, all this stocks and stuff. They have to get paid somehow.
Stocks and bonds and all the things. Absolutely. How have you been?
Good. I will be on WWT Live for the folks who are watching this prior to WWT Live. And awesome. hopefully after Monday, we'll see me more.
Okay. Well, that should be great. Well, then I will save the other TK joke that I had for possibly this evening on WWE. It's got nothing to do with you. Trust me. But yeah. So with that said, let's dig into why we are here, which is to talk about all things Ring of Honor. This is the Ring of Honor post show. We are looking at last night's episode, which aired on Ring of Honor's Honor Club. It's episode 62. Interestingly enough, this also incorporated some of the things that happened this weekend at Dynasty involving several Ring of Honor stars. So we will touch on that as we get to it. So the show started this week. And again, you can always go back and watch it on Honor Club on Ring of Honor. But it started with a singles match between Isaiah Cassidy and Commander. Isaiah Cassidy, of course, is one half of the team Private Party. We've seen Commander in a number of spaces from AAA and, of course, on AEW. A high-flying match that saw Commander come into this with a four-match win streak, hoping to make it five so that he can kind of, you know, pick his shot in terms of who he would challenge against. But that ended up being thwarted by Isaiah Cassidy, who walked away with the win. What were your thoughts on this match?
I mean, I thought, I like matches like this where I thought, okay, well, Commander's going to, you know, come in with the win. However, I feel like Isaiah not deserved it, but I feel like there's going to be a little bit more story if he wins it. The thing I really do like about Ring of Honor, which you've said multiple times, and, you know, I'm sure MDB999 will see this and, you know, whatever. The storylines, they're way more fluid. Mm-hmm. They make a lot more sense.
Yes.
It's really very much, and I know some people don't like the comparison, but very much like soap opera. It's like you can see the direction. You don't necessarily know how it's going to finish.
Right.
All the little twists and turns, but you can kind of see the direction, and that's really easy to follow. Which is a good thing. So needless to say, I love the fact that Isaiah did win. I'm interested to see what's gonna play out with him winning.
Absolutely. Thematically, there's something that I really noticed in watching this show that I think starts to differentiate Ring of Honor from anything else that's on TV right now. Ring of Honor is kind of taking the old school wrestling approach to their shows. And what I mean by that is, you know, these days, wrestling shows pretty much across all brands want to present an hour or 2 hours of main event matches. And part of the challenge with that is, while on one hand, yeah, you're not sure who will win or lose, there runs the risk of somebody's story always getting diminished potentially. Here in Ring of Honor, we're kind of using the old school wrestling. When I say old school wrestling, I'm talking about 80s and 90s, where they would have this mixture of matches involving enhancement talent, where you were clear, you know, whose story is being advanced or who's being presented as the stronger competitor, mixed with an occasional match or two or three where you're not sure who's going to win, and it becomes very interesting. And so I thought that's really one of the themes that you see all throughout this particular episode. And with this particular match, this was one of those matches where you didn't know who was going to come into it and gain the win. And if you thought perhaps it was Commander, which I think most of us thought, you know, Isaiah Cassidy winning kind of puts this in a different perspective to be able to start establishing him as a solo star in Ring of Honor, which I think is a really, really cool move. So that's how the show started. It went from there into a look back at what happened at Dynasty. And I've really actually been looking forward to this particular part of the show. We're at Dynasty during the 0 hour. The main event of the 0 hour saw a literal unification of the six-man and trios championships between Ring of Honor and AEW. Coming into this, the Bang Bang Gang, which of course is, I know. Yeah, it is Jay White and the Guns took on the team of Billy Gunn and the Acclaimed. Billy Gunn and the Acclaimed held the AEW Trios titles. This team held the six-man titles. And unlike several occurrences before, where AEW would say a match was a title unification and it really wasn't, this one actually was. So we now have the six-man tag championships from Ring of Honor and the Trios championships from AEW merged into what's now known as the Unified Trios Championships, now held by Jay White and the Guns. I'm curious to your thoughts in terms of what you think this is going to mean for the six-man division in both AEW and Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I was like, it's always great when you have titles for people to win, right? You know, it's like we always call, or not we always, but it's like, you know, especially for instance, the women's division, it's like we call for certain titles, like, oh, well, we need an additional title because we have so many people. I feel like this decision was made is because they might be doing away with the titles. Like, obviously, there's a unification. So now they go back and forth between AEW and ROH. But I feel like there's something bigger afoot. And I don't necessarily know if the trio, like, I don't know, you've watched way more wrestling than I have, but the trios championship to me looked great in like Lucha Underground.
Yes.
Right. Whereas here it's just kind of like, okay, then what next? There's something missing. So I feel like the unification was just like, okay, well, there's too much going on. Let's bring it together. And then also let's decide if this is going to be a thing a year from now. That's what it feels like. However, I think the best men win. I believe I like the Bang Bang Gang.
Be glad that Seth is not here right now.
Oh my gosh. It's so funny. Shout out to Evan T. Mac. I can't even talk about that conversation, but I like the look, the aesthetic to them, obviously. But I feel like they embody it. They have the personality for it. However, I just don't know if the titles are going to last. I think, you know, for all the things we say about the fake TK, there's just a lot of things that are happening. That's just business. Like, if you look at any major, if you look at WWE and, you know, all the years that they went through turmoil and success, that's just the nature of business. So, you know, there's going to be things that we don't like, or there's going to be things or decisions that are made because they're seeing, okay, well, let's pivot into this direction. It just, to me, on the business side of things, it just looks like this might not be, the unification was step one, and then there's another step that possibly will be coming.
So definitely coming into this, I wondered something very similar. Like, does this mean that the Ring of Honor six-man division goes away, since that championship and division has lasted much longer than the AEW Trios division and championship. Mm-hmm. And then I also began to wonder, is this, to your point, kind of step one to the potential merger, and I can't believe I'm going to say this publicly, of AEW and Ring of Honor. That's partially what it got me to start thinking in regards to that. Now, what may have really kind of thrown me off from that is that this particular show, amid all of the, which again, I say, the Ring of Honor broadcast really does a good job of telling stories. I would argue even better than what AEW currently does, telling stories throughout their show that makes sense. And so to start the show after the first match with this footage, the commentary, but then throughout this show, they literally had three separate matches involving trios teams or six-man teams. Mm-hmm. And in that, they referenced all of these teams that won and that they could all become contenders for this unified trios championship, which says to me that at least for now, there appears to be still a commitment from Ring of Honor to this trios division, six-man division. And I think that the trios that are in Ring of Honor seem to be a lot more coherent than what's going on in AEW. It feels like in AEW, we're just throwing people together and calling them trios, as opposed to this scenario in Ring of Honor, where we're getting actual teams formulating and becoming champions, or at least becoming contenders such that you go, yeah, I want to see this, you know?
Right.
So that served as the lead-in to the next match, which, again, I thought they put this show together well, because you get a trios match, which makes sense following this. And in this trios match, you had Dark Order, which was Alex Reynolds, John Silver, and Evil Uno, taking on Top Flight and Action Andretti. And I got to say, this was probably one of the best matches on this card. This match, high-flying, nonstop action. And it really showcased what the trios or six-man division can really be, with two teams that regularly operate together. I thought it was an amazing match. We eventually did see Action Andretti and Top Flight walk away with the win. And we know now that they will be getting a title shot at the Unified Trios Championships this Saturday night on a live episode of Collision. What did you think of this trios match, and kind of, again, what it potentially says for the trios or six-man division in Ring of Honor?
Well, the match was great. Mm-hmm. I mean, always guarantee great match. And we've talked about this on WWT Live. It's one of those things where it's just kind of like you were earlier saying, are they, you know, almost unifying AEW and ROH, which now after watching ROH consistently, I hope they don't do.
Right.
And the annoyance of, you know, and we've talked about this as well, as far as, you know, them taping and them taping at AEW events, and then also bringing some AEW and ROH folks, like there's a crossover, right, which I'm happy for, you know, get the appearance and, you know, hopefully the additional check. However, it's just confusing to folks, because if you really want to see, you know, the Minions and Athena, you know, you're going to find them more on ROH than AEW, but with some other folks, it's not necessarily the case. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I'm curious as to, I'm sure, I don't know. I'd be interested to see how Tony Khan operates, if he has like a white wall of this is the direction. I'm sure there's something somewhere, but I'm hoping it's not the ladder where it's kind of like it's the trios champion. It could be the trios championship, and then they go between AEW and ROH, kind of like how they did the women's tag for WWE for a moment. But I hope not. But needless to say, the match was great. I feel like I think this is going to be like on repeat for the rest of the show. Like 90% of the matches were like really great and top tier. And it's almost overwhelming for so many matches under an hour and a half to, you know, take it all in. Because you're not used to seeing that. Sometimes, right. like with you know WWE, you might get 2 or 3 matches in a 3 hours, like a 3 hour setting. So it's just like, wait, there's no moment to like, you know, go and get popcorn or go and walk your dog. It's like, oh no, there's another match right after, which is a good thing, just different.
Yeah, and it's funny that you mentioned that because you're right. Ring of Honor, for the 90 minutes or 2 hours, depending upon the episode that you get, it is all wrestling all the time. There are really basically no commercial breaks. They're not selling any product except for, you know, the occasional mention of the upcoming AEW pay-per-view. There will be some interviews in between, but no long bathroom breaks for sure when you're watching this show, which I think is interesting. And I do think that perhaps, you know, to your point, maybe the separation or the unification, I should say, of this six-man and trios divisions is to make it where there's one set of champions that goes between both brands, which I can live with as long as that doesn't become the template for the rest of what happens between AEW and Ring of Honor, because I do think Ring of Honor has a much stronger six-man division than AEW has trios division. So
there's that. There, so.
Yeah, I mean, we are already there. So there's that. From there, we get into another, I think, strength of Ring of Honor, which is their women's division. And of course, yes, they did fight these guys, the Dark Order. So we get into a women's match following this, which I think is an interesting match on a lot of fronts, especially if you've paid attention to women's wrestling talk over the years, because you have Anna Jay, who, again, is still relatively new in the business, a couple of years in, versus a literal veteran, Allison Kay, former NWA Women's World Champion, former NWA Women's Tag Team Champion. And this match was interesting to me for a few reasons. Long story short, Anna Jay walks away with the win. And this at least is the second consecutive week that Allison Kay loses to a Ring of Honor / AEW women's talent. Last week it was Abaddon. This week it's Anna Jay. I guess my question is, what are your feelings on the placement of Allison Kay in Ring of Honor these days?
Well, we'll also shout out to, because we didn't do a show last week, but shout out also to Marty Bell. She was on last week.
Yes.
ROH. I believe Anna Jay is signed to AEW.
She is.
And I don't think Allison Kay is.
Correct.
And so that's kind of one of those things where I don't know. So it's kind of like bringing up a whole different promotion, talking about TNA. And we have SDL versus Jordynne Grace to come to find out, which I didn't even think about. SDL's not signed to Impact. She's not on a contract. So it makes sense why Jordynne would retain, which then kind of throws everything off because it's like, okay, well, are you committed to SDL being there? Which is now brings it back to Allison Kane and Anna Jay. I mean, the contracts with AEW and TNA are vastly different to WWE, obviously. So when you sign somebody, you at least know that they're going to be there for a long period of time. Obviously they're going to go to other promotions, but I don't know. It's kind of almost like, was it Dark Hour that they had back in the day on YouTube? You bring in, you know, enhancement talent, but instead of bringing in enhancement talent, you're bringing in, you know, vets, which is great, but then it's like, it's kind of like the dark secret that we're not going to find out unless somebody puts a book about it, is like Allison Kay is, she's been in the game. She knows her, she's not like, she knows her ish.
Right.
And I feel like she could be on any promotion. So are you bringing her in and, you know, she's losing, but are you paying her for her time? You know what I'm saying? Like it's somebody who is a host who just started and you pay them, you offer them like $100, but somebody who's been in the game for, you know, 10 years, they're not taking that $100. It'd be offensive if you did offer them that. So I'm wondering now on a business level, like, I mean, is she at least getting paid for these losses? Cause your show, cause she's making other talent look great. No, and no shade to Anna Jay or Abaddon, cause they've also been in the game as well. They're not brand new, but it's just kind of like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Like, is there, it feel, and also I realized, because there was, you know, some layoffs from AEW, I also realized that. Mm-hmm. However, I don't know. It just, yeah, it makes me question, like, what's the game plan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's interesting, and you know, we'll probably deal with this part of the issue on another show, but I just decided to go back and check because Mustafa Ali is the X Division champion in TNA, but he is not signed to TNA. So I'm interested to see kind of what their difference was and how they're treating him versus Steph DeLander, which is another story for another day. Right. But with that said, I do think an Allison Kay, who, you know, is a former world champion, a former world tag team champion, someone who is well decorated in our industry and has worked in multiple places and ascended in those spaces. Mm-hmm. It just seems a little weird that she'd only be used in Ring of Honor at this point to put other people over. I mean, she's had other moments in Ring of Honor over the last year or so where she's been brought in to do this same thing. Mm-hmm. And it just feels weird. It's not to say that Anna Jay in, you know, perhaps some other space couldn't beat Allison Kay. It's not to say that, but it is to say that it doesn't appear that this veteran is being treated as a veteran and the trailblazer, right, that she is. And so it's one of those things that you just kind of sit back and go, this is interesting. Yeah. You know, considering that the night before on television, Anna Jay lost on Dynamite. So it's like she lost to, I don't want to get her name wrong because I feel like I'm about to get her name wrong. Mira Shirakawa, I think that's who that was. But she's the tag partner of Mariah May, right? Mm. Like, so you lost to her Wednesday night, but you beat Allison Kay Thursday night. Allison Kay, far more experienced, far more decorated. I don't know. It's just one of those moments in this that I kind of went, are we using Allison Kay properly? Again, right. No knock.
She also does. Yeah, she also has an amazing Twitch stream. So if you haven't, go and support her on that. And maybe at like Zelina Vega, her Twitch is what brings in like the real money.
That could be it too.
So that could be like, yeah, this is fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't want to, you know, this is where mama gets paid. So that right. could be a thing too. I don't know. Y'all don't quote me on none of this. Don't know. But it is very weird, and it's kind of like almost going back a little bit of what I said as far as ROH. Some things are a little bit like, all right,
right.
What's the game plan? And hopefully there is a game plan, but right. at this moment it just seems like, okay, well, we're gonna have matches. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what they want. That's what they're paying for. And you know, this match was not necessarily, you know, thought out.
Very interesting. Very interesting for sure. But with that said, again, going back to things that I like about Ring of Honor, it's clear that they are threading certain things together that make sense. So just like earlier, we saw, you know, the mention of the trios champions and then a six-man tag followed that. We get a women's match, and then that is followed by the latest bit of news surrounding Athena, they recapped her and her title match at Battle of the Belts 10, which was the main event, her against Red Velvet. And in there was an altercation where Billy Starks came in after the match, attacked Red Velvet. Then she was saved by Queen Aminata. And these three actually spent some time talking about, you know, what could potentially be next, which seems like they could be setting up a tag match against Queen Aminata and Red Velvet, which we will hear from later. While we're here, it's probably also good to have the conversation about Athena, who this week celebrated 500 days as the Ring of Honor Women's World Champion. What are your thoughts on this reign from Athena and what happens now?
I think we were asking what happens now when she hit 400 mark. 500 is great. I feel like 500 is great. The curiosity, it's almost like, you know, the NXT call to main roster type thing. And not to say ROH is lower than AEW, but the curiosity now is how would she fare in AEW? And it's not necessarily talent wise, it's just more like the booking. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you have somebody like, you know, referencing like obviously an Asuka, right? She comes to the main roster and all of a sudden Charlotte just kind of kills the 500 days. Right. I'm wondering, you know, like, do you keep her at ROH and she goes to like 900 days? Mm-hmm. If that's the case, you know, we're going to have to bring in more women for her. And I don't know that that's necessarily the play. She's amazing as a champ on, right. you know, the MIT, the, like, all the things, the minions, all the things. However, it's just kind of like, and now I feel like hypocritical because it's almost like, you know, the bloodline, right? It's like, there's a point where people are like, okay, enough of this bloodline. And I'm like, no, there's a whole story. So it's kind of like, this might be the same thing too. Obviously there's not a bunch, well, there's a bunch of minions, but it just kind of like, okay, well, what's next? She's amazing as champion. I love her promos. Talking about the porcelain, that's hilarious. Yes. And now you add this element with Billy Starks. It's great, but then it's just kind of like, okay, well, what, like, how does this story end? And as somebody who admittedly reads the back of the book first and who will fast forward through a movie to find out the ending and then go back to the midpoint, I'm, you know, particularly curious as far as, like, how is this going to play out? Are we going to hit 900 days, which is fine. It's going to be a great thing for Athena, but is it going to be like matches that we don't really remember?
Yeah. It's interesting. And I think this is one of those spaces where Ring of Honor is, I won't say in a pickle, but they are in a decision-making space. And here's one of the reasons why. On one hand, you could argue, okay, 500 days, cool. How will she fare in AEW? I think the flip side to that is Athena is the draw for Ring of Honor right now.
Yeah.
She is the person who people are willing to pay that $9.99 for, because this is the only place you can see what she's doing with the minions. You can see her matches and things of that nature. And you can go back, unlike AEW currently, you can go back and watch those previous matches that Athena had, how she got up to 500 days, you know, those. And I mean, and the good thing is there are some great matches to talk about, whether it's that, you know, street fight with Kiera Hogan, or, you know, the match against Billy Starks, or the match against Willow Nightingale. Like, there are a number of marquee matches that you can talk about that help make this reign what it is. Couple that with the fact that when all of the other champions in Ring of Honor were, you know, moonlighting in AEW, Athena was true blue. She was the one that you were going to find every week on Ring of Honor television. And really, I think, became the flagship of that show. So I think it's interesting in terms of what happens now. I don't know that anybody in Ring of Honor is not just able to take the women's title from her, but is able to take that space of being the draw of Ring of Honor. I think everybody has, every brand has that one person that they build the brand around, that becomes the must-see figure on your weekly television program. And head and shoulders, Athena is that one, way above Eddie Kingston, way above Mark Briscoe, way above anybody else in that brand. And so I think that's what will make this interesting. They have to come up with some more stories for her. And maybe, you know, Queen Aminata, Red Velvet is part of the next chapter of the story for Athena and the minions in training. Okay, we're going to try to speed along because I know we've got to wrap things up in just a little bit. But I do think, again, the theme throughout this show, looking at the trios, the women, were a big thing. And again, we were able to see on this show both Johnny TV and Taya. I can't call her Taya TV because TV is Taya Valkyrie, but they both were present. They both assisted each other in their matches. First was Johnny TV. He took on Will Austin from Ohio Valley Wrestling. And this is, again, one of those matches that we talked about in terms of enhancement talent that also gives, you know, OVW a bit of shine where, you know, if you weren't familiar with what they're doing, you could go check out Will Austin from this match. So this one was pretty cool. From there, another six-man tag match, this time featuring the former six-man tag team champions, former two-time six-man champions, that being Brian Cage and the Gates of Agony. They were involved in a match against Manders and Beef Tank. And what was most interesting about this, and I apologize because I so meant to include that and I didn't, was the premiere or the debut of Calvin Tankman across from this team here. Calvin Tankman, of course, has spent some time in MLW, Deadlock Pro. He has been a major feature. I think he was a tag champion in MLW as well. And so seeing him on Ring of Honor television is really cool. With that said, though, I think we're going to have to be talking at some point about this team here and potentially getting a rematch for those trios titles because they looked extremely dominant last night in that match. Let's move forward quickly because kind of almost the next six-man team was a vignette that we've been seeing over the last few weeks with the premier athletes, that being Tony Nese, Aria Davari, and Josh Woods. I want to get your thoughts on these vignettes and, you know, what do you think can be done with these premier athletes? Or are they kind of never going to escape that place that they have been all of this time?
I mean, I love the vignettes are great. It's what you do after the vignettes. It's almost kind of the equivalent to, oh my God, I forgot what they called it. Practice champs. I don't know if they use that term anymore, but practice champs is the one who like, they're the ones in practice. They're talking all the smack. They're, you know, they look good, all this other stuff, but then they get to the real race. And it was kind of, there's one guy I used to run track with, like just Adonis. Wow. Got to the race, just tanking in the 400. Wish him well. However, these are kind of like what the vignettes are for me. It's like you have these amazing vignettes, like you think of, you know, speaking of Tyler Bathory going to WWE when she did the Frankie Monet thing. The vignettes were great, but then when she got to the main stages, no fault of her own. So don't do all that. No fault of her own. They couldn't just figure it out. Right. So I feel like with the vignettes, it's like when you have a good vignette, especially when it tells a story and it kind of piques your interest, which this one does for me, it's just kind of like, okay, well, when we now get into the real deal of the matches and having matches against people and telling the story beyond the vignettes. So now this is introducing us to them. What's next? So that's what I'm kind of like curious on. But
yeah,
it makes me curious as to see what's going to happen. So good vignette nonetheless.
Absolutely. So we'll see what happens with the premier athletes. That was followed by another women's match. And this one was interesting for a few reasons. Yuka Sakazaki taking on Layla Gray. Now, Layla Gray, for fans of AEW and Ring of Honor, you likely remember her as one of the baddies, once with Jade Cargill. Interestingly enough, when she came down to the ring, she made sure she told us that she's always a baddie. So she's kind of the last of that crew holding on to that. Kiera Hogan, of course, is doing her own thing right now. But Layla Gray holding on to this baddie piece. She had done some great things in OVW as well against Yuka Sakazaki. A very entertaining match that saw Sakazaki walk away with the win. I guess my question is, how well do you think Layla Gray can be positioned again after this whole baddie situation that she's holding on to? What kind of future do you see for Layla Gray?
It's so funny. I was talking to your friend Kane about this a couple days ago.
Wow.
You can't please everybody. So like, right. I'm kind of, you know, obviously this is women's wrestling talk. I want the best for all women's wrestlers. And, you know, it all can't be perfect. So, you know, I saw this match and it was just kind of like, okay, this is great. You're getting, you know, I don't know if you get paid per, you know, match, blah, blah, blah. Like, you're on a screen. That's better than a lot of people are trying to even get to that level. Mm-hmm. But then again, it questions as far as where is the trajectory? Like, hypothetically, you know, and I haven't done this before, so I'm just throwing it out. Hypothetically, if I had all these wrestlers and these wrestlers are mainly going to be on ROH, what's their trajectory? And that's what how I would have it like played out, barring, you know, injury and stuff like that. At least have, you know, this is going to be the main event as far as obviously Athena, mid-card, etc. It just seems like sometimes it's just kind of like, oh, we're throwing matches together. And that's what the whole thing for ROH might be. It's like mm-hmm. you have one or two storylines and then you have really great matches. Mm-hmm. I was talking to SDL about this. I love a good story.
Yes.
Yeah. Story makes me remember, okay, this is how everything kind of played out. People just want the matches. They don't want the stories. So, yeah. You know, I think that's kind of where this kind of falls. Like, you're going to get a great match, but you might not get, you know, the story that accompanies it. So, mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. okay.
Yeah, it is okay. And so, again, it does showcase the depth of the women's roster in Ring of Honor. But again, the question ultimately becomes, and we'll see obviously over the next few weeks, will we continue to see Layla Gray? Will we continue to see Yuka Sakazaki? And I am intrigued about the Layla Gray piece because, again, we saw her so heavily involved at one point with the baddies and on AEW television and being, you know, presented strongly. And so it's interesting to see kind of where this moves from there. From there, we had another tag team presented to us, this time by way of an interview, backstage interview. Cole Carter, Griff Garrison, they were both not exactly feeling so great as they came off of big losses over the last couple of weeks in solo competition. Maria Kanellis is saying, hey, you know, you guys are going to be there. You're going to be a great tag team. Very encouraging, which kind of surprised me, because she's usually like win or go home. So clearly she sees something in this young tag team. And the argument was made in the following match, perhaps what she could see. Following match was one of the main events of the night. It was a proving ground match between the current champions, the Undisputed Kingdom, and the Outrunners. Now, you know, we've been talking about story. There's a lot of interesting story connected to this, and we can kind of quickly connect the dots. For one, the Undisputed Kingdom, the last proving ground match they had is against a team called the Infantry. The Infantry being Carly Bravo and, of course, Sean Dean, the captain. That was one of the few proving ground matches that went the distance. So for those of you who might be new to Ring of Honor, proving ground matches are kind of your non-title matches, but they all have a 10-minute time limit. If the challenger either defeats the champion or goes the full 10 minutes, then they now qualify for a future title shot. So in this previous match that happened with the Undisputed Kingdom and the Infantry went the full 10 minutes, and that earned them a title shot at Supercard of Honor. The Infantry and the Outrunners have been involved in a bit of a tag team war for a couple of months now, with the Outrunners mm-hmm. stealing some of the moveset from the Infantry and the like. So the question now is, could the Outrunners do what the Infantry did and take the Undisputed Kingdom either to the full 10-minute time limit or actually get a win and earn a title match? The match ended up going about 7.5 minutes. The Outrunners actually did a great job in this match, and we all thought they'd end up winning. But mm-hmm. the Undisputed Kingdom used some nefarious tactics, pulled the tights, and won the match, defeating the Outrunners, which I thought was interesting. What were your thoughts on this tag team match?
I'd like to shout to commentary.
Oh, yes.
The comment was great as far as talking about the Outrunners. They're saying they're new to the game, which they very much aren't. According to the commentary, it's not me being shady. It's just what they
I'm just repeating
what they said. It was a great match, and you need it's kind of one of those things where the beauty of wrestling and the beauty of television, because, you know, when somebody cheats, like, there's you know, a whole audience commentary seeing this, and you have the one referee's like, can you, are we not doing playback? What's going on? Which makes it, you know, interesting, because if you were, then it would change the scope of wrestling. So, I feel like this, as far as story wise, is going to be interesting, because now it's propelling the story as far as, well, who's next. Are the cheating shenanigans going to get them as far as they need to go, and who's going to stop them? So yeah, it was a great match nonetheless. I definitely believe that Undisputed Kingdom should have retained. And yeah, what do you think is going to happen next with them?
Well, it's going to be interesting, because what we found out a little bit later in the show is that the Infantry would end up having an interview talking about the Undisputed Kingdom, but then that would be interrupted by the Outrunners. And so they had, you know, a back and forth, and it's ultimately resulting in a match between these two teams next week on Ring of Honor television. So we're looking forward to telling you about that. We only have a couple of minutes left, so we're going to speed through a couple of things. For one, this interview right here got me very excited, and I wish we had more time to talk about Red Velvet and Queen Aminata. They battled each other in the semifinals of the Women's World Television Title Tournament, but now they've come together, and eventually it looks like they'll be taking on the team of Billy Starks and, of course, our World Forever Champion, that being Athena. But what struck me when I saw this was, holy cow, we have another team of extremely strong African-American women in front of us. In the light of a Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair standing together, we have these two queens. What were your thoughts when you saw Red Velvet and Queen Aminata together? And did you get those same kind of vibes?
I mean, I do, but then I always get with the hesitation, because I hate when people get thrown together and it doesn't stick. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my fear. It's like, yes, visually it looks amazing. And both women separately, you know, are holding their own. Yeah. So it's just kind of one of those things, like, are you sticking them together because, you know, this is the play? Is there actual story behind it? Or are you sticking them together because, like, there's nothing else for them, but you still want to use them? And those are semantics. I get it. But for me, it's just like, I get not all tag teams going to stay together forever, like, you know, a New Day, or, I mean, you used to be able to say the Usos, but you've seen what happened with them. But not all tag teams are going to stay together. However, you can reference that tag team as there was a moment in time in that era, and that's what I want. So if we're going to go full throttle with this and they're going to be a tag team, then, like, let's go. But for them to go after Billy Starks and Athena, who are both separate champs, in singles titles, it's just kind of like, okay, well, what's the play here? You know, is it just for a match or two, or are we gonna, you know, are we now gonna have, you know, the outfits and the music and all the things? Because that's what I want for a tag team. I mean, it might be old school, but it's like, are we doing this or not? Like, are we, you know, it's kind of like, you know, if you get married, it's like, are we doing this, or we just gonna, we just gonna play house? Like,
yeah,
which I'm a proponent for anyway. But anyways. You know.
Wait, for playing house or for, oh wait, that's two a separate
houses. Like, let's have, like, we have two separate houses side by side, and you can come over, and then, you know, you can having a man cave, you have a man house.
We don't have time. We don't have time. Oh gosh. Oh man. Sed, please watch this show. Please watch this show, Sed. Please. All right, so we're going to skip right to the end, where the main event was a triple threat match, which I thought was really, really cool. It involved Blake, I almost called him Blake Christopher. It is Blake Christopher, isn't it? It is, hold on.
Here it is, Blake Christian.
It is Blake Christian, that's what it is. Blake Christian, AR Fox, and the Beast Mortos, a great, great triple threat match that at the end saw the Beast Mortos get a big win. Certainly seems like he is getting a strong push. I do believe, yeah, he was Black Taurus from TNA, but it is good to see him here in Ring of Honor. And all three of these guys have had some significant looks over time, but the Beast Mortos gets the win. Remember, you can watch this episode and all previous episodes of Ring of Honor on Honor Club or at watchroh.com. You can either download the mobile app or go to the website and check it out in that way. I'll tell you how you can reach me, then TK can close out the show because this is her building. How do I close out somebody else's house, right? Right. So you guys, of course, can find me at Bonner Fight across all the spaces. You can check out my commentary work with Southern Honor and IWE on IWTV. You can also check out my commentary work with the Nightmare Factory, Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling, all on their YouTube pages, as well as All Caribbean Wrestling. We've got some new things there from Philly Mania that are up right now. So check that out. And you can check out my work with Ashe Wrestling at AsheWrestling.com and on all their social spaces as well. Some really cool things there. And then I'll be back here, I believe tonight, for WWT Live at 6 p.m., where I think we'll be talking about the draft. As the draft kicks off tonight, it should be lots of fun. Now to the only TK that does not have a neck brace, TK Trinidad.
Oh my God, we have to do an AEW show. Anywho, you can follow me on everywhere at TK Trinidad. Make sure you follow Women's Wrestling Talk. More interviews to come. There's so many interviews. More interviews that are going to be dropping. So definitely check out www.talkpod.com. Definitely check out our SDL Steph DeLander interview. Really, really interesting. Super love for stand-up comedy, which I have a love for as well. So we did a little bond over that. But you can check everything out at Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet. Till next time, guys. Ciao.
What's up, guys? It's your girl Red Velvet from straight out of your mama's kitchen, doing what I do best, stirring it up, and you are now watching Women's Wrestling Talk.
Thanks for joining WWT. Don't forget to like us on all social media platforms at WWTalkPod. Like and subscribe on all video and audio platforms, like yesterday, my G. And check out our website at WWTalkPod.com. Thanks for watching Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one.